All right. Well, as I said, I'm going to be done in about 15 years, and I doubt if I'll live to see the day where an entire harness is robotically installed in a vehicle.
I want you to think back here to your history with home electronics, TVs in particular. Now, I realize if you're under the age of 30, this might not apply to you. For you guys, maybe think of your parents or grandparents. So, close your eyes. Think of that TV in some prominent spot in the house, maybe the living room. At some point, you added a VCR and game system, then a cable set-top box, a DVD player, and wait, what about a Blu-ray system? If you're a movie buff, you might have needed that too. Then maybe you got talked into wiring up speakers. All the better for that full home theater experience, right? Of course, at some point, your kids probably upgraded and picked up a PlayStation or Xbox or both. Then you got fed up with all your paying for cable and joined the ranks of cord cutters. You might have thought you'll get to recycling some of that gadgetry soon enough, right after you picked up a digital TV antenna so you could at least watch the Super Bowl. Oh, and recently, you added a Google Chromecast or Roku stick so your kids can watch endless YouTube pet trick or talent show videos on the big screen while eating breakfast. Okay, still with me? Now, walk over to your imaginary TV cabinet and look behind it. What do you see? If you're type A and organized, maybe you're looking at a neat, orderly collection of tightly bundled cords, each labeled, of course. If you're like me, type B minus, at this point you probably see a big Medusa-like tangle, a mess, really. Either way, though, you're looking at a lot of cords, a lot of wiring. You can open your eyes now. I know, we're here to talk cars and not TV cabinets, but the same basic principle applies. Though there are ongoing efforts to consolidate things, in general, the more electronic features and systems in a car, the more wiring you need. And there's a whole industry, a whole engineering discipline associated with designing and manufacturing these wiring systems, which are sort of like the central nervous system of a modern car. Check it out. A luxury vehicle today can have a mile of copper wiring, which eventually needs to be configured, sort of web-like, into a so-called wiring harness. Every device around the car, from LED lighting to LiDAR system, needs to be connected to this harness. That's what we're going to talk about today.
The OEMs, and I think you hear about this a lot in many different industries, they all develop their products via V development cycle. But whether it's software, mechanical, electrical, electronic, whoever it may be, those Vs don't talk to each other, don't communicate with each other. Yet none of them can make a design change that doesn't impact the wiring. So the wiring is constantly evolving throughout the life cycle of a vehicle, and it has to react to any change that takes place, whether it's electrical or mechanical, ergonomic, but that's driven from an OEM plant, whatever the case may be.
Like some of the show's previous guests, Doug Bersicki has quite a lengthy automotive pedigree. I added it up, and even though we've only been doing this for a few months, we've already featured several hundred years of industry experience, if you add up the background of all of our guests. Anyway, Doug's been in the industry for a quarter century, most of which he's spent thinking about and working on vehicle electrical systems. He can talk about how all the changes in the industry we read about daily are manifested out of sight in those bundles of wires that drivers can't see and rarely think about. Unless, like Doug, it's their job to do so. Doug is a director in the Integrated Electrical Systems Group at Mentor, a Siemens business, and he's based in Southeast Michigan. And for this episode, I enlisted the help of Connor Pike, a fellow writer at Siemens, also covering automotive, who's been doing lots of great work with Doug and his group. I think you'll be hearing more from Connor. He's not only a very good writer, he's great behind the mic too, and just a fun guy to be around. But back to Doug. His background in engineering dates back to the late 1980s when he was an engineering student at Wayne State University in Detroit.
I went to Wayne State University, which is an urban university in downtown Detroit. And there I received my bachelor's in electrical engineering, and I had a major in computer science. And then I went to Lawrence Tech University for my master's in automotive engineering.
Awesome. So you know a thing or two about shoveling snow.
I do, unfortunately.
Doug just recently joined Siemens PLM and is already thinking about autonomous driving and electric vehicles and how these trends impact the realm of wiring. Before Siemens, he had a long career at Yazaki, which is the world's largest automotive wiring harness company.
The reason I joined Mentor was, there's so much happening right now in the industry, and it's truly the most dynamic time that I've been a part of since I started in this field almost 25 years ago. probably the only other time where I could compare relatively the amount of buzz or excitement was back in 08 when the big discussion was about which companies were going to fail and which ones were going to make it. And that's not the kind of excitement that I like, but I do truly enjoy what's going on today. And I felt that at this point in my career, if I was ever going to make a change, I'd have to do it relatively soon or not at all, given I probably only have about 10 to 15 years left. At least I hope. And then I wanted to try something different. I had been employed at the same company for almost 25 years, was in various roles. I was in engineering, I was in sales, I was in program management.